I've already been informed that the trap door behind here has been fixed. You don't hear the squeaking that we heard for quite a while. And there is a time limit. I've been warned about that. But we hope that we can be finished within the hour, hour and a half or something. First of all, I'd like to thank all of you for being here, especially you who are members of this body. We're grateful for your presence, but especially to you who are visiting with us. We're especially thankful for you, and we certainly want to invite you to come back and to be with us at every opportunity that you can. It would be unkind on my part if I did not thank the elders for giving me this opportunity to speak to you this morning. I feel that when I'm doing something like this, that so many things after I finish that I should have said, and many times things that I shouldn't have said maybe that I'd said. But I hope that your prayers will be with me this morning, that the things that I'll be saying to you will sink into some good and honest heart and bring forth fruit here this morning. This is not an easy task by any means. And I don't try, or I'm not going to try to fill Brother Greer's shoes. They're too big for me anyway. I'm not going to try to do that, but I will try to do the best of my ability and bring to you from God's Word something that would help us as we journey here upon thy footstool. We're all looking for something every day of our life. We go about looking for something better, something that's good. And many times we don't find it. We keep looking. And that's the way with the church many times. When we moved away from here, LaVon and I, by the way, I'd like to first tell you about my wife. She is at home in quite a bit of pain part of the time. She's up about half of the time. But I want to thank you for your prayers and for your concern for her. When she and I moved from here in 1988, we knew just about where we were going to worship, but not necessarily so. We began to look and to visit different places. We were looking for something good. A congregation that not necessarily fit my think-souls, but what God had to say. Many times we were looking for something what I want to them to teach. We're in trouble many times when that happens. But we were looking for something to the best of our ability and our knowledge that taught what God would have them teach. That was not an easy move for us, but we were going to serve God regardless of what happened. So we might ask the question, what is a good church? What is a good congregation where I can worship and serve God? We're going to be talking about that this morning. But I'm not going to try to exhaust all the characteristics of a good church. Nor will I be quoting from God's Word all of the quotations or all the scriptures that pertain to that. But I will be quoting some, and I hope that you would take them down, write them down, and in the privacy of your home, study them. We believe them to be the truth. Now for just a little while, we want to study with you what is a good church. In the very outset of our lesson, we find and we know that all churches are not good. We find that in Revelations 2 and 3, that the churches that was talked about in that book, they were not good. They were reprimanded for the many things that they were doing. They were not pleasing to God. But a good church depends on people, our members, with reverence and obedient lives, and those who honor God's law and obey His commands. Those that demand nothing but the truth, that thus saith the Lord. The good church abides in the apostles' doctrine. In Acts 2:42, and they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine, in fellowship and breaking of bread, and in prayers. They followed after what the apostles taught. Anytime that we find a congregation following what the apostles taught, we find a good church. Not deviating from what they taught because they were instructed by God what to teach and what to tell the people. And if she fails to do this, nothing else matters. Listen to what Jesus had to say in Matthew 7:21. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say unto me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name and in thy name done many wonderful works? Brother John was talking this morning in our Bible study. He would say, depart from me, ye workers of iniquity. You have no part in what I teach. You're teaching everything else. Depart from me. Good ones continue steadfastly. Steadfastly means firm, constant in the things that they learned and what they had been taught. Yes, they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. Jesus told the apostles to go into all the world and to teach the people. And you teach them to observe all the things that I have commanded you. To be a good church, we have to teach all the things that was commanded by them, by God. Transgressing from that command or those commands that God given is not good. We can't say that they're a good church when they transgress from that. 2 John 9 says, whosoever transgresseth, that means goeth beyond. Goeth some another way. Go beyond what is taught. And abideth not in the doctrine of Christ, hath not God. He that abideth in the doctrine of Christ hath both the Father and the Son. A good church cannot and must not teach any other doctrine. Nothing less, nothing more, other than that what the apostles taught. A good church holds forth the word of life. Or in the community where the congregation where the church is, if they're teaching the truth and good people, good members are going to that, you can see the radiance glow from that place throughout the community where you live, where the church is. Titus, or in 1 Thessalonians 1 and 8, Paul writing to the church at Thessalonica had this to say to them. Far from you sounded out the word of the Lord, not only in Macedonia and Achaia, but also in every place your faith to God will be spread abroad, so that we need not to say anything. The Apostle Paul had confidence and knew what they were teaching and what they taught spread out in the communities where they were. And he didn't have to elaborate upon that, but they taught exactly what they had been learned, or had been taught and what they learned from other teachers. To be a good church, it must not hold back, but preach it. Again, the Apostle Paul writing to the brethren at Rome, in Romans 1 and 8, for the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. Don't be a hindrance to the cause of Christ for the teaching of it. Allow the truth to be taught regardless. Don't be a stumbling block. One that wants something taught just because that I learned that I want it to be taught. But let the Word of God continue in the apostle doctrine. There should be joy in preaching the gospel of Christ. Oh, because it saves men and women. It saves our souls. And it should be joy. For us to teach and preach. Paul, writing to the church at Philippi in Philippians 2:14-16, do all things without murmuring and disputing, that ye may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God without rebuke in this midst of the crooked and perverse nation, among whom ye shine as lights in the world, holding forth the word of life, that I may rejoice in that day of Christ, that I have not run in vain, neither labored in vain. Do it with joy. Hold the gospel up before the world, because it is the power of God unto salvation. That's what the apostles taught. That was the instructions laid down by them by God, and that's what they taught. A good church has members that give to the cause of Christ so that the truth, the word, can be taught. Many times we emphasize the time. It has to be on the Lord's Day, of which that's the truth. We emphasize the time, but we don't realize and study many times upon the purpose or according to when and how we are to give. We're to give according to prosperity, what we have. And as we purpose in our heart in 2 Corinthians 9:7, not because of what someone else gave, but what we ought to give. Realizing that that is for the furtherance of the gospel, to save men and women, lost souls. Not grudgingly, not out of sorrow, out of pain, but out of love in our hearts. Not of necessity, not as if we had to do it or as if we were made to do it. It wouldn't do us any good if we felt that way, because God loves a cheerful giver. Support the preaching of the gospel. And I believe this church here does that well. A good church does its own work according to its ability. And just what is its ability? It preaches the gospel in 1 Thessalonians 1:8. Again, listen to the Apostle Paul. Far from you sounded out the word of the Lord, not only in Macedonia and Achaia, but also where you were, all abroad, wherever you were. Good church has members that care for their own. 1 Timothy 5:16. First they take care of their own. If any man have widows that believe and have widows, let them. If any man or woman have belief that have widows, let them, who? Those that believe, relieve them, and let not the church be charged, that it may relieve them that are widows indeed. We have a responsibility. And we need to carry that out. This is instructions that Christ gave the apostles when he sent them out. You instruct the people to observe the things that I have taught you. That's still today, just as it was in the early days of the apostles. We do that today. In doing this, it builds up itself. In Ephesians 4:12, for the perfecting of the saints, for the working of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, each member all working together for the cause of Christ, preaching the gospel in this community or in the community where you're a member of. How is the church where you're a member of? Is it a good church? Is it teaching what the apostles taught? Is it practicing the same things that you find in God's Word? If not, we need to be looking for one that is. If you travel throughout the countries, you'll know that that's so. Many churches that we visited while we were away from here, not by my own thinking of what I thought that they ought to be doing, but were far from what God has to say and the teaching that the apostles did. Many of us would be surprised of the churches that are doing that. But there are many good churches over the country, many good congregations that's carrying out the work. A good church has members of it that cares for its own. It builds up itself for the perfecting of the saints in the ministry. It strives for peace. Members must esteem each other highly for the work's sake and be at peace. 1 Thessalonians 5:13. Each member, each of us, a member of the congregation where we attend, need to be striving for peace, working for that cause. But for without peace, there can be no harmony. There can be nothing less than chaos in the church, and its light cannot shine. It will not shine. Is this characteristic of the congregation where you attend? That they strive for peace, they're working for peace, each member working with each other, seeing that the word is taught and carried, the work that they are able to do is carried out. Are the members working together with the elders? And if not, or if they are elders where you attend, where we attend, do you know the elders? And do the elders know you? To know someone is to understand each other. Know my wants, know my needs, know your needs and your wants. That is to know each other. Is that happening where you attend? Is that happening where I attend? Do the members have respect for the authority of God's word? Do the members have respect and confidence in the leadership where you attend? Are they all working together to fulfill the responsibility given them by God? Each of us has a work to do. And if all are working together for the cause of Christ, there'll be peace in that church. These are just a few of the characteristics. As we said in the beginning, we are not going to exhaust all of those. We hope that you can read between some that you can think of. Then we must all live in peace. We strive for it. We must live in peace. 2 Corinthians 13:11. Paul writing to the church at Corinth. Finally, my brethren, farewell. Be perfect. Be of good comfort. Be of one mind. Live in peace. And the God of love and peace shall be with you. Make the necessary change in my life. Make the necessary change in your life that will promote peace. And finally, a good church must have discipline. It needs to do something, or do sometimes some weeding out. We do that with our flower bed, or the corn. We weed them out, take the weeds and things out of it so that the other can grow. If we have members, or you have members where you attend that are doing that, you need to do some weeding out. We need to do some weeding out and get rid of that chaff that's holding the work back. I've done a lot of flower meetings since Yvonne been sick and been in the hospital. And I'll tell you, it takes a lot of work to get all those weeds and things to keep the flowers looking good. And that's the same as in the church. But it takes a lot of work, a lot of knowing, a lot of counseling. Can we take that? Can we take those counseling? Can we take the reprimands that come to us sometimes that if I'm not doing right and I need to change? There must be discipline. Matthew 5:13. Ye are the salt of the earth. But if the salt hath lost its savor or power, wherewith shall it be salted? Without discipline it cannot be a city that's set on a hill. Matthew 5:14. Jesus says, ye are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot hid. You can't hide the light of a congregation of a good church that's doing this, that's holding forth the word of life, that's using every fiber of our being to promote peace and to be at peace. Yes, without discipline, the influence in the communities is destroyed. We need to do some weeding out. Any confidence, the confidence of their teaching. A good church cannot tolerate disorder. 2 Thessalonians 3:6. The good church cannot tolerate those who persist in sin and rebel against the teaching. A good church cannot tolerate busybodies or troublemakers. Paul writing to the church at Thessalonica in 2 Thessalonians 3:11. For we hear that there are some which walk among you disorderly, working not at all, but are busybodies. Yes, a good church must abide in the apostles' doctrine. One that holds forth the word of life. That the members are doing everything that they can to promote the gospel of Christ. One that preaches the gospel, strives for peace, and does its work in practicing discipline. Am I a member of a church or a congregation like the one we've just described? I had no particular place in mind when I got this lesson together. I'm speaking in general to everybody, to me especially. Am I doing things promoting the gospel of Christ as I should? Have I in my past promoted the gospel, or have I been a hindrance to the cause of Christ? Is the congregation where I attend, is the congregation where you attend doing that? Let's not allow the work to be hindered by me in its work at all. But if you're here this morning and are not a member of the body of Christ and would like to be a member of a church that's promoting the gospel of Christ, working with members that let their light shine in the community where they are, teaching the gospel of Christ, because it is the power of God, as we said, unto salvation, that will save our souls. We need to believe the gospel, and I hope this morning that you have made your mind up that you believe exactly what the Bible says. We need to believe it. Mark 16:16 and Hebrews 11:6, Acts 16:31. We need to repent of our sins if we have done those things that are not pleasing to God. And if we're not a member of the body of Christ, we need to. You know that. You need to repent of those sins. Luke 13:3. 24:47, Acts 2:38. You need to confess before this good audience this morning the name of Christ. Matthew 10:32, Romans 10:10, and Acts 8:37. You need to be baptized in the watery grave of baptism to rise up out of that watery grave a new creature with all those things that you've done that we have done that's contrary to God's will and have not practiced living for Him, not even started on that track. Get on the track this morning by believing, repenting, confessing, and being baptized, and finish that race that is set before us, and be faithful unto death. And what will we receive?
Revelation 2:10, a crown of life. Oh, I want that crown.
I wish everybody believed what God said, that they would give them a crown and could accept it. I wish that there would be those here this morning that would step out. What must I do to be saved? Or even just stand up in the seat and holler, what can I do to be saved? I can tell you. The Bible says, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. But that's not all. We got to work, be faithful. But maybe we have started on that journey and we was not as faithful as we ought to be. Have not run the race as well as we ought to run it. I've shunned to declare the whole counsel of God. My life has been a reflection upon the church, this congregation here, the congregation where you attend. If that be so, you need to repent of that and ask the prayers of this congregation or the brethren here to God to forgive you of those things. If you are subject to either one of these invitations that we have offered to you by God, won't you consider that as we stand together and sing this invitation hymn?